Good evening. This is the WRKC News at 5. I'm Station Manager Jessica Mulligan. Thank you for joining us. Tonight's top stories include a look into a professor's ride for charity and a look into what the campus has planned for Mardi Gras and Ash Wednesday. We'll also listen to a fresh Music Monday, get a Monarch Sports update, and a forecast for the top of the week. Breaking your own record is always a great feat to accomplish, but a simulated tour of the perimeter of Pennsylvania on a stationary bike with a distance of more than 1,200 miles is astounding. News director Katie Pugh interviewed Dr. Paul Zabek as he finished his ride on Saturday.
Charity takes on many forms. The St. Vincent de Paul Soup Kitchen next to Alumni Hall, the Surf Program, and even WRKC's very own radio home visitor. For Dr. Paul Zabek of the History Department, charity is like riding a bike. He never forgets how or why he's doing it, and his charity is literally riding a bike. Dr. Zabek is the figurehead of Candy's Place Spin for Life event, which raises money for the organization and the Brandon J. Case Memorial Scholarship at King's College. Brandon Case, Dr. Zabek's stepson, passed away in 1999 of leukemia, and he has been cycling in his honor ever since. Dr. Zabek explained the event while continuing to spin on the stationary bike at Odyssey Fitness in Wilkes-Barre.
This is the 16th annual Brandon Case Memorial Spin for Life, and in honor of Brandon Case, who is a King's College student who passed away from leukemia in 1999, and he was also my stepson. And each year, we do the Spin for Life to benefit his foundation and also Candy's Place Cancer Wellness Center in Fortyport. And I usually try to do some sort of cycling, long-distance cycling thing. And this year I decided, since I'm doing the Pennsylvania Survey class now, and since Brandon did his research, sophomore research paper on Pennsylvania highways, that I'd do a virtual ride around Pennsylvania. And that's going to take me about 2,000 kilometers, which translates to 1,242.278 miles.
Dr. Zabek discussed what keeps him going on this incredibly long ride.
Well, part of it is Brandon's memory, and to do anything that could help the cancer cause in this area. Cancer is one of the most devastating diseases, not only here, but in all parts of our country. And anything that we could do in that fight, I just want to be a part of. My inspiration is thinking of Brandon, but I really love being on the bike, whether it's out on the road or even here at Odyssey Fitness. And you find yourself just getting into such a zone that you become one with the bike itself.
Dr. Zabek noted the importance of getting involved in sports and valuable causes.
Well, one of the things that I try to get across, not only with this, but in my global sports class that I teach, is that sport can be used for really good causes. We often hear the negative part of sports, but there is so much good going on from professional sports all the way down to the local level. So I just want students to know that you could do something yourself, whether it's whatever sport you play, that find a cause and get involved.
Deborah Gans, the board secretary of Candy's Place, discussed what the organization offers to cancer patients with the funds raised in events like Spin for Life.
Our organization provides free services to cancer patients and their support. So if you are taking care of a cancer patient, you are more than welcome to come with them. We have exercise classes, we have Reiki, we have a lot of therapies like that. We have a wig room, we have a support groups, things like that.
Gans also discussed ways the community can keep getting involved in Candy's Place.
Our main fundraiser is our walk, which happens Mother's Day weekend, that Saturday. But this is a huge fundraiser, and it is probably one of the most fun fundraisers that we have. We have a great following. People come back year after year, and if someone doesn't come and they hear about it, then they're quite upset because they missed all the fun. We have many other events that you can get involved. We have a fashion show in the summer. We have a pink tea in the fall. But if you're not a cyclist, you're welcome to come and just pedal on the bike. It is not set up just for exercise fanatics. It is set up for anyone to come who just wishes to participate.
Carol Duss, the group fitness director at Odyssey Fitness, talked about what it's like to host Spin for Life this year.
We were approached by Candy's Place. They were looking for a venue. I had followed the whole event in the news prior to this event, and I knew what a great cause it was, and we were more than willing to help out and help Paul in the cause. It's changed venues over the years, from what I understand, so having it in a new venue and being a transition year, I think we're having a great turnout.
Dr. Zabek reached his record-breaking goal on Saturday, completing the 1,209-mile journey over the course of 9 days, averaging about 120 miles a day. Dr. Zabek also says hello to his students. For the WRKC News at 5, I'm News Director Katie Pugh.
This week marks a transition in the calendar of the Catholic Church, with the holiday of Mardi Gras being the last chance to celebrate before Lent. Program Director Nick Rotundo sat down with Father Chase Pepper to discuss the meaning of Mardi Gras.
Most people know of Mardi Gras as a day of partying and big New Orleans band music. However, not as many people know about the true meaning behind the holiday. Father Chase Pepper, associate campus minister at King's, explains the true meaning behind Mardi Gras.
Mardi Gras is the French for Fat Tuesday, and it's for a long time traditionally been celebrated as a day of feasting in order to get all of the luxury items, as it were, out of the house before Lent starts, because when Lent starts in the Catholic tradition, you know, you're giving up a lot of the stuff that you perhaps otherwise would eat or treat yourself to throughout the year. So Mardi Gras is, I guess, historically more of a day for families and people to rid their houses of all of the excess stuff that they're not going to be eating by making it into a big celebration or a big party, eating it, enjoying each other's company, and then entering into a season of sacrifice and prayer and not treating yourself as much.
As most people celebrate the holiday by partying and wearing many different colored bead necklaces, they tend to lose the main aspect of the holiday. Father Pepper then went on to speak about this issue.
I think that when Mardi Gras becomes divorced from the day that comes afterwards, namely Ash Wednesday, that's where it begins to lose a little bit of its original meaning. You know, cultures will always find ways to celebrate holidays in their own way. So the sort of stuff you see in New Orleans is kind of just, you know, Americans' way of getting on board with something that Catholic tradition has been doing for a long, long time. But nevertheless, the true meaning of Mardi Gras is to, you know, bring people together, to bring families together, to celebrate the good things that we have in our lives, with the understanding that we're going to step back from some of that for a while in order to prepare ourselves to celebrate Easter 40 days later.
Father Pepper then went on to explain how the campus ministry will be celebrating Fat Tuesday.
One thing that campus ministry is doing, we call it a bead outreach. So something that you'll see campus ministers and the students doing around campus tomorrow is going out with just Mardi Gras beads galore. And we've stapled them together with little strips of paper that have all of our Ash Wednesday service mass times on them. So people are reminded, oh yeah, that's right, Ash Wednesday is tomorrow. Ash Wednesday is coming up. I got to get my ashes. Here's the times for my ashes. So it's a way to get the beads out to help people celebrate a little bit, but also to remind them, yeah, this is connected to Ash Wednesday. And then in the evening, because this is midterms and everybody's getting ready for spring break or winter recess, we're going to have a late night Mardi Gras study break here in the Campus Ministry Center, where from 10 p.m. to midnight, students can stop through, take a breath from their studies, help themselves to some sweet treats and to stuff that otherwise, you know, they might be giving up for the next 40 days, and enjoy that time away from all of the stress and the anxiety of midterms week. And then at midnight, you know, that's when Ash Wednesday starts, so we're going to shut down the study break with all of the eating, and we are going to have a setup in the chapel of candles and darkness, and it'll be an hour of prayer, Eucharistic adoration in particular, from midnight to 1 a.m. in order for the first note of Lent proper to really be one of quiet and stillness and prayer. So that way we bridge that gap between Mardi Gras and Ash Wednesday.
Finally, Father Pepper then talked about how the King's community can give back to others in need during this Lent season.
Two big things that campus ministry is really trying to push and encourage for Lent itself. One is a fundraiser. We're calling it Coins for a Cause. It's something we do each semester, and it is a fundraiser where you pick up a red solo cup, and then over the course of Lent, you contribute your change. You know, change you pick up, cash you pick up, money you would have spent on something that you're sacrificing otherwise. You know, you put that money in the red solo cup, and then right before Easter break starts, we'll have everybody bring their change together and contribute it to a big pot. And that money is going to go towards a donation to Catholic Social Services and its program, particularly for homeless and runaway youth in our community. So there is this one fundraiser that we're doing. The second thing is a fasting program, because on Ash Wednesday, Catholics between the ages of 18 and 58 are required to do a fast. And a fast means that you limit yourself to one full meal during the day, and then you can have two smaller meals also, but they're not supposed to add up to the size of that one full meal. So there's supposed to be some limitation of food. So in order to help people fast, we are doing a program called Fast Bags, where students, faculty, and staff can either use their King's cash or their flex dollars or the meal swipe that they otherwise would have used for a meal in order to get one of these empty brown paper bags, fast bags. And then with the income generated by that, campus ministry and food services is going to fill these bags with dining inventory and then contribute them to local food pantries to help offset the needs of hunger in the community. So these are two things that we hope that the campus will get involved in and really help us to do some good with.
For the WRKC News at 5, I'm Program Director Nick Rotundo.
The transition into the Lenten season starts with Ash Wednesday. Social Media and Promotions Director John Flynn sat down with Father Eric Schimmel to talk about the meaning of Ash Wednesday and the season of Lent.
The seasons of change will turn the Catholic Church from ordinary time to Lent this coming Wednesday, as Catholics and even some other Christian denominations from all over the world will receive ashes to mark the beginning of the season of Lent. Father Eric Schimmel explained the significance of Ash Wednesday in the Church.
Ash Wednesday is the first day of the holy season of Lent. It is a day in which traditionally Catholics and some people of other denominations have the same tradition of receiving a sign of the cross on their forehead made with ashes. In the Catholic tradition, those ashes are made from the palms from the previous year's Palm Sunday that were burned and then re-blessed. We are called during Lent to repent and turn our life back to the gospel and to remember that we're dust, to dust we will return, that our goal is not just to live this life here on earth, but to live with a focus on our life to come in heaven. And Ash Wednesday is the beginning of the season of Lent in which we focus on conversion and living the life that we should lead as true followers of Christ.
Ashes are more than just rusts of black on foreheads. In fact, it is a tradition that goes back many centuries ago.
Ashes are actually a sign of repentance that goes back centuries. You know, people in Scripture, when they were repenting, would sit in sackcloth or sit in ashes wearing sackcloth. And so the ashes are a sign of repentance that you know that you need to turn back to God in some way.
Wednesday's services feature a liturgy of the Word that talks about three of the core principles of Lent. Father Eric explains what congregations will hear on Wednesday.
Prayer, to focus on our relation with God. Fasting, which helps us to get in touch with our true deep desires by not satisfying every desire. What is our true longing in our heart? And as St. Augustine said, our hearts are restless until they rest in God. The last one is almsgiving, and it's not last because it's the least. It's just the last that I remembered in that series. And almsgiving is giving of ourselves, doing something positive to help others, to know that all that I have and all that I am is gift from God, And it's not a gift just to be used for me, but to be used for others.
Nevertheless, Ash Wednesday, says Father Eric, surprisingly is one of the most popular days for Catholics to attend church.
Ash Wednesday is actually one of the most popular days for people to attend a church service in the Catholic tradition. What makes that unique is it's not a holy day of obligation. There's something about Ash Wednesday that connects with people's hearts and spirits, that there's a connection of who we are as dust, and to dust we will return. Anybody who's been to a funeral has been hit by that stark reality, but there's also a sense of hope, that the cross is the hope and there is an afterlife, and getting in touch with both of those themes at the same time really draw people.
The season of Lent marks a time of fasting and prayer. Father Eric explains why Catholics abstain from meat at certain times of the season.
On Fridays in Lent, as well as on Ash Wednesday, Catholics, I believe it's between 16 and 60, are told that we should abstain from meat, which typically would be animal products rather than fish products. It made a lot more sense to me. In our culture, there's so much meat present, but when I lived overseas, you know, meat was not something that we had on a regular basis.
King's College is certainly no exception to Ash Wednesday, as there will be Ash Wednesday services in the chapel on Wednesday. There will be a 10 a.m. Liturgy of the Word and Masses at 12.05 p.m., 4.30 p.m., and 8.30 p.m. For the WRKC News at 5, I'm Social Media and Promotions Director John Flynn.
Coming up next, we'll get a new installment of Music Monday, a Monarch Sports Update, and the forecast for the start of the week.
One theft every 6.5 minutes. 156 thefts every day. Here's a shout out to the more than 57,000 drivers who admittedly made it easy for the thieves last year. 57,000 who left the keys in their vehicle and had it stolen. Lock it before you leave it. Don't make it easy for the thief. If you know something about vehicle theft or insurance fraud, call us at 1-800-TELL-NICB. A public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
Hi, this is Erin McKeown, and you are listening to WRKC Radio King's College in scenic Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
The News at 5 continues on 88.5 WRKC Wilkes-Barre.
You're listening to Music Monday on the WRKC News at 5. My name is Therese Ruffsedge, Music Director, and I'm your host for today's installment of the program. The first artist I'd like to share with you today is Dude York and a release from their new 2017 album titled Sincerely. Dude York is signed to Hardly Art Records. Without further ado, here's a sample of their track, Something in the Way. Up next, we have a sample of the track Fly by the Orwells off of their 2017 release, Terrible Human Beings. next, we have a piece from White Lines off of their 2017 release titled Friends. If you like artists such as Calm Trues and Bonobo, then you should enjoy White Lines. Without further ado, here's a sample of Is My Love Enough? This has been Therese Ruffsedge, music director for the WRKC News at 5. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to hear more, tune in each Monday during the regular school year to hear the latest and greatest hits on college radio.
This is your sports director, Dan Stokes, with your Monarch Sports Update. Over the weekend, the men's and women's indoor track and field team traveled to Lehigh University to compete in the MAC Indoor Championships. Sophomore Jill Korjeski defended her shot put title, and she was able to retain the title. The men's and women's team finished 9th in the meeting. The men's lacrosse team played their second game of the season against Susquehanna University. The Monarchs suffered a 13-7 defeat. Sophomore Brian Steiger notched 2 goals in the contest. The MAC Freedom Conference offices announced that sophomore Brett O'Neill was named MAC Offensive Player of the Week. The Monarchs returned to action March 8th against the University of Scranton. The women's lacrosse team opened up their season on Sunday against Keystone College. The Lady Monarchs defeated Keystone 18-8. Sophomore captain Amanda Carroll scored 3 goals in the game. Freshman Katie Higginbotham tallied 5 points in the contest with 3 goals and 2 assists. Senior Gabrielle Maroku tallied 9 points in the contest with 6 goals and 3 assists. Maroku's performance earned her MAC Freedom Conference Player of the Week. The Lady Monarchs returned to the field Wednesday at Moravian College. The Monarch baseball team opened up their season this weekend in a doubleheader against Clark Summit University. In the first game, the Monarchs only had 5 hits and 23 at-bats. Senior Tom Gibbons went 2-for-4 with 2 doubles. Junior Nick Dino pitched 5 scoreless innings with 6 strikeouts. John Wickheiser relieved him with another 2 scoreless innings and received the win behind a 1-run at-bat from Sean McKee. In the second game, the Monarchs got their anemic offense on the first game booming. The Monarchs knocked in 8 runs behind a great pitching performance by Dan Hartson and Billy Neal, who combined for 7 innings of 1-hit ball. The Monarchs returned to the field over spring break in the Monarchs' annual week-long trip to Florida. This has been your Monarch Sports Update for the WRKC News at 5. I'm Sports Director Dan Stokes.
And now the weather. Tonight will be partly cloudy with a low of 38. Tomorrow will be rainy with a high of 64. Wednesday will feature more severe thunderstorms with a high of 72. Auditions for Doubt a Parable will take place tonight and tomorrow in the Maffei Theater. Applications for the Aquina Society are due tomorrow. The Staff Council's Meet and Greet series will continue tomorrow afternoon in the Mulligan Lobby. This has been the WRKC News at 5. I'm Station Manager Jessica Mulligan. Have a magnificent Monday.
This has been the News at 5 on WRKC, Radio King's College, Wilkes-Barre.